So hi everyone, so today in this podcast episode, I will read to you reviews that I found on Goodreads, which is really intriguing and detailed about the book The Horace and Morgan. So this book is a very long and daunting book, but if you can read it, you will see it's kind of fascinating. I discover the history of finance and how one empire dominates the economics of America in during a century. And yeah, and the Horace and Morgan, they still have many enterprises until nowadays, and they has definitely have great impact on American economies. And today, let's discover that with me. So let's jump into his review. So this review is called Matt. So in this first massive biographical tome, Ron Chernow definitely takes up an undertaking that proves daunting and yet highly interesting. So he say that Ron Chernow definitely takes up an undertaking. So takes up an undertaking is like you are in charge, and proves daunting. I mean, this book is a little bit lengthy and tiring to read, because as far as I know, this book has more than like 1,000 pages, and yet highly interesting. Chernow sought to explore not only financial ties in America through the ages, but to explore a powerful financial, business, and political force that has lasted for more than a decade. So he sought to explore, is mean he find to explore, and because the House of Morgan is not only involved in financials and a lot of financial events, but they also have impact on politics as well. And the Morgan name has been deeply ensconced in the American fabric and the international as well for well over a century, helping to steer world events and political ideals one way or another. And in these explorations of the Horace and Morgan, more than a familial biography in the true sense, Chernow examines the entity during three distinct epochs: the baronial age, the diplomatic era, and the casino period. Readers can marvel not only at the power held by these multimillionaires, but how the whole survived many plight. Plight is mean hardships or event or some situations from which everything is kind of difficult and unpleasant, both political and economic, and remains as strong as ever. Why I'm not the one who is well-versed in finances and who can attest to being the greatest handler of money, I feel any reader with patience and a passion to learn would devour this and see just how powerful and corrupt money can be, no matter the holder. So we have the word, the Morgan name has been deeply ensconced and helping to steer world events. So steers mean you control vehicles like a boat, and three distinct epochs. Epochs is mean era. So he listed three distinct epochs, which are the baronial age, the diplomatic era, and the casino period. And this book is also divided into these three main parts. And the house survived many plight. So plight is mean the hardships or the difficult situations that I have mentioned. And someone is well versed in finances is mean someone who has a lot of experiences and knowledge in this area. And you can think of well versed is like veterans. So we have the word veteran used in stock market, like in Wall Street, like veterans who have a lot of experiences in trading stocks. And now first examines the House of Morgan by exploring the lives and ventures of Junius and Pierpont Morgan in what he coins as the baronial age. This father and son duo sought to forge greatness in an era when the American aristocracy was finding its feet. As Chernow lays the groundwork for his entire piece, the whole set up its own foundations, whereby the elite nature became the basis for the future Morgan enterprisings. The Morgans sought not to be a bank in the traditional sense, with tellers and small accounts, but to offer services to the uppermost crust of society, requiring inflated minimal deposits and refusing to publicize their services. Chanel touches on this in the preface, but does to explore how juniors wanted to use the mid-19th century to develop a core group by which he could make sizable investment and see his own profits soar. By the time Pierre Point took over daily running of the house, banking became but one of the ventures undertaken to produce great wealth. Railroads were coming into vogue, and their development as more than regional entities could be seen by the amalgamating companies into monopolizing monstrosities. The House of Morgan had capital for those who wished to expand holdings, but also elbowed the way onto the board of many companies. The rise in rail importance created a strong upswing in the Morgan profits, and thereby helped earn Pierpont Morgan the title of robber baron in the late 19th century. At the dawn of the early 20th century, the House of Morgan found itself firmly rooted in America's upper class and became the go-to lenders of the top tier. When Wall Street felt tremors of a crash in the first decade of its century, it was the house that held firm and weathered the storm. Pierpont did all he could to keep things run effectively, leaving a powerful and influential House of Morgan for his son, Jack, after his death in 1930, creating a financial aristocracy in America and laying the groundwork for international importance. The baronial age ushered in some of the most trying and successful years of the House of Morgan. So moving on, I'm going to explain to you a few words. So the first word is this father and son duo sought to forge greatness. So forge is means making a shaping a metal object by hitting it in a fire and beating it or hammering it. So to forge greatness in some areas, and you can see like training to reach greatness in an era when American aristocracy was fighting its feet. And as Chanel lays the groundwork for his entire piece, the whole set up its own foundations, whereby the elite nature became the basis for the future of Morgan Enterprising. And also you can see the uppermost crust of the society. So the uppermost crust of the society can be understood as the upper class of the society, requiring inflated minimal deposits. So inflated is means excessively or unreasonably high. So inflated minimal deposits. So deposits is a sum of money that you send in a bank and hoping that it will bring profits to you, and refusing to publicize the services. So you can think of the House of Morgan as they are trying to build some kind of institutions for very high class people or upper crust of the society, and they requiring the inflated minimal deposits, and not just the normal tellers or publicize their services. So Chanel touched on this in the preface, and he also when the words were coming into vogue. So railroads coming into vogue. So vogue is mean popular or fashionable, and their development. So when railroads were coming into vogue, and their development as more than original entities could be seen by amalgamating companies into monopolizing monstrosities. So amalgamating companies is like incorporating or combine, unite to form one organizations or structure. Amalgamating companies into monopolizing monstrosities. Monstrosities means something is very large and ugly. and the House of Morgan had capital for those who wished to expand holdings but also elbow their way onto the board of many companies. So, and the rise in rail importance created a strong upswing. So a strong upswing is like a strong increase in the Morgan in profits, and thereby helped to earn Pierpont Morgan the title of robber baron. And the House of Morgan found itself firmly rooted in American upper class and became the go-to top lenders of the top tier, and became the top lenders of the top tier is mean the top people who gonna let people to lend money, but with very high stakes. And when Wall Street felt tremors of the crash, it was the house that held firm and weathered the storm. So weathered the storm is meaning go through the hardships, and Pierpont did all he could to run things effectively, and leaving a powerful and influential House of Morgan to his sons, and creating a financial aristocracy in America, and laying the groundwork for international importance. The baronial age ushering some of the most trying and successful years of the House of Morgan. And in the leading up to major political changes on the world scene, the House of Morgan undertook using this strong voice in that Genet titles the diplomatic era, divesting its monetary policy outside of America. The Morgan has enterprises in London and Paris, two key areas in Europe with long reaches across the continent and around the world. The house used its significant influence to help foster stability within the European countries, providing key loans and a time propping up the national currencies to the point of steering away from significant devaluations. With strong diplomatic intentions, the house was not overly picky about their clients for a time and could help wherever they could. Even after the Great War commenced, the House of Morgan invested heavily in munitions and metals that became essential for the war effort. Chanel goes so far as to discuss about the Morgans, to discuss how the Morgans were seemingly war profiteers by profiting in both sides without outwardly supporting the assets. This was precarious territory and could flirt with treasonous activity, but the House of Morgan sought to invest in what would bring profit and did so effectively. In those interwar years, the House began seeing itself managed more by U.S. administrations through legislations. President Wilson passed income tax laws and tried to limit control of the Morgans with the creations of the Federal Reserve. Wilson received much pushback and watched the House do all they could react. With the arrival of the Depressions, Jack Morgan, now at the helm, sought to push through as panic enveloped the world, steadying the financial markets and remaining above the fray. The European situations brought dire concern to the Morgans, who watched the reparations of the Great War cripple Germany and the rise of the Nazis, fueled by that resentment. Archenau explains the House could strike to aid with reparation stability and propped up the Germany economy, which might prevent the need for war. There was much to be done with these sorts of monetary policies, but the House was kept from offering complete assistance, with pressure from both FDR and Churchill on both sides of the Atlantic, trying to keep sullying their reputations and steering away from treasonous activities. The Morgans could not allow themselves to make concrete ties with the Nazis or the extermination policies enacted throughout the concentration camps. The House remained firmly rooted in the American camp, though financial potentials surely crossed political ideologies
in the 1930s and 40s. The diplomatic era saw the House of Morgan hold on to much power around the world, though they were not able to prevent some of the major political skirmishes. The profits they reaped allowed them to divest from national government concerns and focus solely on personal investor. So the few words that we learn is that monetary policy and across the continent and around the world to foster stability within the European countries, providing key loans, propping up the national currencies to the point of steering away from significant devaluations. Propping up just mean help or support and strong diplomatic intentions. The House of Morgan, so even after the Wheat War commenced, so commence means start or begin, the House of Morgan invested heavily on munitions. Munitions is like bombed, and that became essential for the war effort. And Morgans were seemingly war profiteers by investing in both sides without outwardly supporting the assets. And could float with treasonous activities. So treasonous activities is mean activities that involve are guilty of the crime of betraying one's country. But the House of Morgan sought to invest in what would bring profit and did so effectively. And the House began seeing itself managed more by U.S. administrations through legislation. So legislations could be considered as laws, but collectively. And with the arrival of the depressions, Jack Morgan, now at the helm, is mean he's now have the power and he's now control, sought to push through as panic enveloped the world. As panic enveloped the world mean panics now cover the world. The European situation brought dire concerns to the Morgan, who watched the reparations of the Great War cripple German and the rise of Nazis. So reparations is mean the making of amends for a wrong one has done, is kind of making amends for some kind of wrongdoing by paying money or to otherwise helping those who have been wrong. So the European situation brought dire concerns to Morgans, who watched the reparations of the Great War crippled Germany and the rise of Nazis, fueled by that resentment. Resentment is mean bitter indignations of having been treated unfairly. Resentment. And as she now explains, the House could strive to aid with reparations, stability, and propped up the German economy. And trying to keep from sullying their reputations and steering away from treasonous activities. So sullying is mean damaging the purity or integrity. It's just sullying the reputations and steering away from treasonous activities. The Morgans could not allow themselves to make concrete ties with the Nazis or the extermination policy. So exterminations is mean killed somebody, especially of a whole group of people or animals. So we would say that the Nazis, they have some kind of exterminations policy, which is especially cruel and enacted throughout the concentration camp. And the House remained firmly rooted in the American camp through financial potentials, surely cross-political ideologies. In the 1930s, so the diplomatic era saw the House of Morgan hold on to much power around the world, though they were not able to prevent some of the major political skirmishes, So political skirmishes. So skirmishes is mean an episode of irregular fighting, especially between small or outlying parts of armies or fleets. Then the profits they reap. The profits they reap. The reap is mean cut or gather, usually used for crops or harvest. The profits they reap allow them to divest from national government concerns and focus solely on personal investor. And divest is the opposite word of invest. So instead of putting monies in, trying to taking money out.
Chanel's third era of the House of Morgan, which he calls the casino period, proved to be one in which gambles in finances were precipitated by a loss of control by the Morgan at the time when multinational corporations were the new Goliaths. With the onset of the Cold War, the world proved divided along ideological lines, but this did not force the House of Morgan to shy away from their business ventures. Using corporations as clients, the house sought to bridge financial wealth with the acquisitions of key businesses all over the world, though they were more a servant to aid in the diversifications of business interests. The American presidents tried to turn away from some of the ventures being undertaken, but those heading up various investment branches of Morgan were able to turn politics on its head with bold and daring moves. Be it subsidizing means to acquire and monopolizing Japanese high-tech firms or foster third-party fiscal exchanges so as not to violate embargoes in the Middle East, the House of Morgan was there through it all. Chanel offers numerous concrete examples of how the house tried to keep itself one step ahead of the precarious markets while also pushing the limits with offering seed money for hostile takeovers. Whatever it was, it brought things into the late 20th century at a time when financial security was rare, even with relative peace on the political front. Hedging bets for their clients proved to be the effective means of creating a relatively effective House of Morgan in the later part of the century and into the 21st, after Chanel's narrative comes to a close. So, in the third era, the House of Morgan, which is called the casino period, it proves to be one in which gambles in finances were precipitated by a loss of control by the house at the time when multinational corporations were the new Goliaths. So precipitate is mean cause an event or situations, typical one that is bad or undesirable to happen suddenly, unexpectedly, or prematurely. Precipitated. So, gambles were precipitated by loss of control by the house at the time. So, with the onset of the Cold War, so onset is mean like to begin or to start. And to using corporations as clients, the house sought to bridge financial wealth with the acquisitions of key businesses all over the world. So acquisitions is mean the noun is a noun of the word acquire is mean an asset or object brought or obtained typically by a library or museum. Though they were more a servant to aid in those diversifications of business interest. And when American presidents tried to turn away from some of the ventures being undertaken, but those heading up various investment branches of Morgan were able to turn politics on its head with bold and daring moves, being subsidizing means to acquire and monopolize Germany's high-tech firms or foster third-party fiscal exchanges. So fiscal exchanges is like financial exchanges. So as not to violate embargoes in the Middle East. And Chanel offers numerous concrete examples of how the house tried to get itself one step ahead of the precarious market. So precarious is mean not securely held or in positions are dangerously
likely to fall or collapse ahead of the precarious markets while also pushing the limits with offering seed money for hostile takeovers. So, and as the political and economic world remains balanced on the head of the needle, to now exemplifies how the diverse and risky approaches of the House of Morgan keep the financial powers effective. I am no money man, nor do I feel I learned enough in these pages to expound much on the subject. However, Janelle's strong ability to lay out a thought-provoking and timely narrative pushes the reader through the various situations with ease. Political, economic, and personal grief pepper the story throughout, and Janelle is able to draw them all together. His focus has to be varied as he handles a number of people and their personal stories, but he does so effectively and to the point that the reader is sure to want to know more. This is the sign of a good historian and biographer, something that I know Janelle has fostered after reading a number of his work. There's more to the House of Morgan than money, but it's the passions for it that shaped them as a man and family, both blood and business, for so long. Why Janelle sought to find a family whose influence on worldwide banking lasted long enough to write about its development, he has done so in spades with his explorations of the Morgans. Mr. Janelle's for shedding so much light on this man and the empire, which showed no numerous changes over its development. Your books always leave me wanting more and curious as to what else you have in store. What a wonderful way to begin a lifelong journey of writing. So when I revise some words, so the first word that we have is financial prowess. So, remains balanced on the head of the needles, and Janelle exemplifies how the diverse and risky approaches of the House of Morgan keep the financial prowess effective. Prowess is means skill or expertise in the particular activities or field. And next is Janelle's strong ability to lay out thought-provoking and timely narrative pushes the reader through various situations with ease. And there's also the words shedding so much light on this man and the empire, and to start and begin your lifelong journey of writing.